Welcome to the Song Saloon. I'm singer-songwriter Jordan Smith Reynolds, and each episode I meet with an artist and we sit down with one of their songs. Today I have the pleasure of being with Brittany Ann Tranbaugh. Brittany Ann Tranbaugh is an Americana songwriter based in Philadelphia. Her queer country heartbreaker Kiss You won Song of the Year in the 2021 John Lennon Songwriting Contest. She'll be releasing a new EP this fall, produced by Grammy winner Tyler Chester. Brittany, welcome to the saloon.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'd love to start today with talking about your song you brought, Can't Wait, No Rush. Can you give us a little intro on that?
Yeah, so this is a pretty new song. I co-wrote this with my friend Jackson Emmer. This is one of the first songs that kind of came together arrangement-wise with my band. I've been playing music since I was a teenager, but I took a hiatus for a few years in my mid-late 20s. You know, mental health stuff, creative struggles, all that. This song is special to me because the people who helped get me back into music, Jackson is one of them. He co-wrote it with me. When I brought this to my bandmates, it just like came to life immediately. And this is going to be the first single off of the EP and the first song on the EP. I kind of see this song as like, hey, here's my new era with all these people that I love. Here's kind of like a fresh energy.
Amazing. I love that. So I'm familiar with your first EP.
Quarter Life Crisis Haircut. Jackson produced that one.
Yeah. Great. That's what I was going to ask, if Jackson was involved with that record too.
He was, yeah. He was like the catalyst for me coming back to music in a big way. He called me in 2021. I was like, come on, Brittany, like just come to Colorado. Let's record something together. And he recorded and produced what became my Quarter Life Crisis Haircut EP.
So how did you guys meet?
I lived in Asheville, North Carolina for 2 years, 2014 to 2016. And I was serving an AmeriCorps down there and also playing some music on the side. And he and I met like in the local music scene.
I hear the folk scene is pretty sweet in Asheville. Can you confirm?
It is. Yeah. It's small, but very mighty. It's kind of amazing for a city that size, how many venues there are and how much music there is happening on any given night. It's pretty mind-blowing.
I spent some time in Utah, and similarly, there's a folk scene in the Provo region, Salt Lake.
Really?
Yeah, that's cool. Pretty fantastic for being the size it is.
Wow, I didn't even know about that. That's neat.
Yeah, if you're on tour going through West Coast, the Velour in Provo is awesome for folk stuff.
Cool. Wow. I'll keep that in mind. That sounds great.
And I, of course, would love to have you on a West Coast tour because I'd love to see you.
Oh, I would love that so much. I just did my first West Coast like mini tour last year with my friend Carsey. We did like Bay Area, Portland, Seattle. We're there in November. I haven't made it down to LA for a show just yet.
Great. I actually did a little tour last year from the Seattle area down to Los Angeles. I was wondering if we crossed paths,
cool.
But that was in like August. So we were off by a few months.
Oh man, ships in the night.
Yep. Well, if it's good with you, I'd love to hear Can't Wait, No Rush.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
I can't wait, I can't wait, with no rush. Thank you.
It's such infectious joy.
Thank you. That's what I want to get across.
Can you tell us about how that song started?
It was about a bit of a new relationship, the beginning of a long-distance relationship where I had connected with somebody and then, of course, didn't tell them I had a crush on them until they were on tour in Japan. And they had texted me at one point, "Can't wait, no rush." When you're in a new relationship, you're so excited, but you don't want to like freak the other person out. So it's like, oh, I can't wait to see you, but no rush. No, like, it's all good. I'm chilling. I like that that illustrates that tension that everybody feels when they're having that experience. I got on a Zoom with Jackson because he lives in Colorado and he helped me solidify the melody. And then I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do with the bridge melodically. He helped me tie it all together. And it was fun because he knows the person that I wrote it about too. So it was kind of cute. Came together pretty quick. And then I brought it to the band and we just started playing it. And I was like, yes, that is fun.
So would you say that you're a lyric first kind of writer?
Typically lyrics first. It'll typically start with like a line.
I found personally that when like the title comes first, the song tends to come pretty fast.
Yeah.
If I get a verse line first, then it meanders and I wander for like weeks and months.
That's such a good point. I can really relate to that. Yeah. When it's just the verse line first, it's like, man, this could go so many ways. But when you kind of start with your thesis, it's easier. It comes together so much easier.
Yeah, sometimes it's fun to do the wandering, though.
Yeah, that can be really rewarding to write that way, I think.
Did you write Space Cadet with Jackson as well?
No, that one I wrote on my own. Actually, co-writing is super new to me. This is like the first co-written song of mine that I'm sharing with the world. So that feels cool. And then I have another on the EP I put out that my bass player and collaborator Joe helped me finish.
Yeah, I found co-writing is also very hard for me. That's awesome to hear you're embracing it and getting into it more.
I have not yet co-written a song where we like start from scratch together. The co-writes that I've done have all been either I bring a 70% their song to somebody, or I've co-written with my bass player where he brings a 70-80% finished song and I help him get it over the finish line. And that has been a really great way to dip my toes into co-writing. And I do think that I'll eventually, with the right people, be able to like write a song together from scratch. I think I'm kind of like building my co-writing skills a bit.
I think that's a great way to start it, having a mostly finished song and taking it. I think that's great.
It was a big moment for me to realize like, oh, I can take this to somebody I trust. Sometimes you just need a little push. And sometimes all you need is somebody to be like, yeah, that sounds finished to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a song that I'm hoping to release. It's been kicking around for a year and a half, almost 2 years, and it just like never feels quite right. So maybe that would have gotten out the door faster.
Yeah. Did it feel better like putting it out there and listening back? Because sometimes that's helpful too.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to get into the lyrics of this song a little bit. I liked how you mentioned Haven't Kissed You Yet, which is a fun little throwback to your Kiss You song, I think, just like
that cute.
It's there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah, may not be intentional. I thought that was really nice. And then I want to talk to you about the progression, because something that has really struck me with your songs as I've come to start listening to them more is how intentional and clear the stories are in your songs, which I really love. You know, there's a reason for each verse that's coming next.
I feel like this one is more like pieces of a story slash like different angles of how I'm feeling about the situation. I like to be like really specific with details to really paint a picture of like, this is clearly like about me and my experience, but also like, I always, when I write a song, want the song to feel inherently relatable, that there's like a core emotion or experience in there that people can be like, yeah, I felt that before. Like the first verse is like, here's what's happening in this specific situation. The second verse is, I'm really psyched, but I'm trying to keep it cool. But like, do I even need to keep it cool? Because you're not really keeping it cool. And then the bridge is kind of that vignette. Like, here's a scene of the day I met you. Does that answer the question? I don't know.
Yeah, so breaking up into kind of vignettes. Would you say that's consistent across your songs?
I would say so. I mean, Space Cadet is definitely little vignettes, right? Like a vignette from childhood, a vignette from when I first met my partner, like a vignette from now. Yeah, if I think of it as like, okay, each verse is a vignette. It just feels like it comes together more easily. And I like describing moments like that.
And I think the chorus serves it really well, being this anthem where you repeat the can't wait, no rush. That's something that everyone can kind of jump on board, and then you can be like, specific memory. It makes me feel this universal thing that everybody feels.
Yes, that's absolutely what I'm going for. I'm glad it comes across.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Oh, my dog just strummed my guitar.
A little musical interlude for you guys.
Yeah.
The last verse, you talk about, do you have the words in front of you?
Yeah, it's you. The day we met, you sat down at the drum set. I said, I don't know what I want, but I'll know it when I hear it. And then it's, didn't know at the beginning, I could feel so much.
So what I liked about that, you know, there's this kind of bubbly first meeting kind of energy throughout the song. And that to me was kind of like a, this is something that could last a long time. It's not just a fling, like a fleeting thing that's happening, but a deep emotional connection.
Yeah. And I like sort of revealing something like that at the end of a song. It feels like it adds a new dimension to it of like, this is real, you know?
Yeah, it just flips it. You get that new perspective.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the EP as a project? Tyler Chester is out of this world amazing.
He's a wizard.
I love his work on Madison Cunningham stuff.
Oh my gosh, same.
When I saw that you're working with him, that's really exciting.
Yeah, it was magical working with him. Watching him work is such a treat. His ideas with arrangement, it was just so valuable to work with him. But anyway, how I met him, my good friend Carsey Blanton, she's like a mentor to me. I opened for her on the West Coast. She's awesome. She has recorded a lot with Tyler. And then her bass player, Joe, is also my bass player and one of my best friends. And he kind of made the connection. Before I won the John Lennon songwriting contest, I was talking to Joe about how I wanted to record something with this new band. And he was like, I mean, I could make a connect with Tyler Chester. And I was like, whoa, that's really big. Like, I don't know. And it felt really out of reach. And I was like, I don't know. I'd have to crowdfund or something. And then I found out that I won the songwriting contest. And I was like, you know what? Reach out to Tyler Chester, because maybe that's what we'll do with the money. Sure enough, you know, he sent some unreleased songs of mine to Tyler, and Tyler was into it. So I used the prize money from the contest to fly my bandmates and I out to LA, and we recorded 5 songs with Tyler. He is just as brilliant and wonderful and lovely as he seems. We all learned a lot, and it was just a super cool experience, really great for us as a band too, you know, even just like as our bond as a band. It was really great. Wild opportunity. Very cool.
Yeah, that's so cool. You got to fly everyone out too. Man, just really fortuitous that that happened at that moment.
It really was. It felt really special to not only do something for myself, but involve other creatives in the process and pay other creative people for their work was something that I just simply couldn't have afforded. I just tried to see it as a blessing and like, how can I like make this an abundant experience for myself and my collaborators. And I feel like it was that. It was awesome.
That's amazing. Tell me a little bit about the recording process. Was it y'all getting on your instruments, recording at the same time, or was it y'all kind of getting into the booth separately?
We did a few tunes like pretty live. There's a song, Pennsylvania, that I think most of it is like a live take. You know, Adam, the drummer, is in a separate booth, but we're playing it together live. And we overdubbed some stuff on that. But what you're hearing is pretty much just us playing it live, which I love. I Can't Wait, No Rush, I feel like a lot of that is live as well. And then I kind of like overdubbed my voice in some parts. But the foundations of a lot of the songs are just us playing together, which felt great.
Yeah, there's an energy that's really hard to capture if it's not done live together.
Definitely.
It did sound like that came through with Can't Wait, No Rush.
Yeah. Everything I've ever recorded before was just like me as a solo artist, and I would like hire people. But this felt really special because I wanted it to come across, and Tyler wanted it to come across as like, you guys are a band, you have a special thing going, you're on this journey together. And even though it's under my name, it does feel just very much like a band.
Yeah. Also love the triple name, obviously, with Brittany Ann Tran Bow and
yes.
Jordan Smith Reynolds. We're triple name buddies.
Yeah. When I first started playing gigs and stuff, I was a teenager and it was like in the MySpace era. Uh-huh. And my mom was like, I don't want you to like put our last name on the internet. So I just went by Brittany Ann. And then over the years, that started feeling a little juvenile. Also, like many more people named Brittany Ann popped up on the internet, and there's no other Brittany Ann Tranbaugh.
Personally, for me, it's been nice to have the three name thing. It's been good to not be confused for other singers because there's quite a few Jordan Smiths, and there's a Jordan Reynolds that writes consistently with Dan and Shay and is like a Grammy winning songwriter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good to be part of the three name club.
Yes, yes, welcome.
Thank you. I imagine a lot of the base that's listening to this podcast right now are songwriters themselves. Do you have any thoughts you would want to share directly to them about your songwriting process or things that you think you've learned as a songwriter that might be valuable?
So I went through like a few years where I didn't write songs at all because I was so worried about other people. It was just like this compounding feeling of like, oh my God, I'm not writing. That's my only value as a person and everybody is mad at me. Like, you know, I was making this big thing that it wasn't. And the mantra that got me through was like, people are happy for me when I'm doing it, but nobody's mad at me when I'm not doing it. That was really liberating. It just also helps to remember that, like, unless you're Beyonce, people aren't sitting around being like, when is the next song gonna drop? They just notice when it does and they're happy for you. So it's like, I think another thing is just like, that songwriting doesn't have to be so like precious. It can be more of a fun process that doesn't have to be alone. Co-writing has been a big revelation for me of like, oh, this can be just like an interesting, fun, creative process with a friend that's also meaningful and thoughtful. And then one more thought that I have is I envision songwriting being on a spectrum where at the one end is the mysticism. I'm definitely not one of those people who's like, I write, I wake up in the morning, I write every day. You know, that works for some people. But I think that the older I get, the more I'm moving toward like, okay, this is a practice and how can I strengthen this practice and how can I be less precious about it? It helps to think about songwriting for me on a spectrum.
This is actually a theme that has come up a few times on this podcast. Writing from a place of inspiration versus putting in the work and hoping that inspiration strikes. What I'm hearing from you is just being aware of the spectrum and knowing where you're at the time can be really valuable.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there's no right or wrong really in it.
Agreed.
But knowing where you're at in that spectrum and what's right for you at the time might be different. So just checking in on yourself.
Agreed. Yes. It's been helpful for me, definitely.
Yeah. I know for me personally, it's fluctuated quite a bit. And I think it would just be really nice to feel super inspired all the time.
I know, right?
That's just not always the case. Thank you for coming onto the podcast. Super looking forward to your next EP, and that's coming out this fall. Go check out Can't Wait No Rush. I'll make sure to put that in the episode notes. Where can we find you on social media?
Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I'm at @B_thefolksinger. And then I'm Brittany Ann Tranbaugh on everything else. BrittanyAnnTranbaugh.com is my website.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. This was just so much fun to meet with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I hope we get to meet in person sometime.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. See you next time on The Saloon.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for stopping by The Song Saloon. Episodes are released weekly on Wednesday, and you can follow on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter at The Song Saloon. And visit our website, thesongsaloon.com, where you can find past episodes, transcriptions, sign up to our email list, and find more ways to support the show. Please follow, rate, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Every little bit helps grow our community of artists, songwriters, and music lovers. We truly couldn't do it without you. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.